Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
Michael K. here, Don LaGreca there, Peter Rosenberg there, and you obviously listening to us for the next 4 hours. So welcome aboard, everybody. We'll try to make it as normal as possible. And if a world ever needed a certain amount of programming, today's the day that they need Drop Madness. And it begins today. Now, I'm very upset with how poorly my region is represented. Don has a very strong region of all number one seeds.
True.
Peter's is good. The other region is good. Mine is terrible, but it should be a great tournament. And it starts today, and the voting starts today. I know you're pumped up about it, Peter.
I mean, who's not pumped up about it? This is the only tournament that exists in sports right now.
That's right.
And, of course, like most tournaments, not without controversy. I heard from some people who are extremely disappointed in Andrew and the seeding job that he did. Many people calling for him to step down, but, of course, we know that's not in his vocabulary. So, Andrew, do you care to tell us who the matchups are today?
Yeah, today will be from each region, every 1 versus 16 matchup and every 8 versus 9 matchup.
Beautiful. And when does the voting begin?
At 4:20. They will go live on Twitter at TMKS ESPN. You'll be able to vote. I believe even the audio clips will be posted there on Twitter. So if you aren't sure what they are when they're listed on the bracket, you can click on it and see. And then you'll have 2 hours to get your votes in, and it's 6:20. So right near the end of ENN, we'll announce the winners for the day.
And I truly expect this to be the highest voter outcome we've ever seen. This should be the best turnout of all time, no?
The tournament's gotten better and better every year, except for my region.
And most people should be sitting at home right now. There's no good reason to not most people. You're either, I'll put it this way, not nearly as many people are driving and listening. A lot more people are sedentary. So I expect to see a great voter turnout. And there's some really, I mean, to think that Don's Eric Weddle drop is competing today. That's huge news.
It is big.
If you think about it, when we started the tournament, we were playing in small gyms like Rose Hill in the Bronx and the Palestra in Philadelphia. Now we're playing in stadiums. Now, there's nobody in there because of social distancing, but that's how much this tournament has grown.
Big.
Very proud of it. Before we get into talking some Brady, not Bunch, but Tom, I was profoundly hurt today by Peter. I don't even know if he realizes it, but
wow.
I posted a picture of myself because I haven't shaved in 7 days. And full disclosure, I don't even feel like bathing. The whole deal. I'm not wasting essentials like deodorant, even toilet paper. Let's open the whole book. And I took a picture of myself, and you know, I look like hell. And I tweeted out, and I put it on Instagram. And Peter's reply, Don, was for the whole world to see. Wow, this is repug.
Well, what were you expecting, Michael?
I wasn't expecting that.
Because I will tell you this, you know. I'm being honest. You're a very well groomed person. You usually don't have any stubble. You shave every day. You know, your hair looks immaculate every day. You really care about your appearance.
No more.
So I was a little jarred by the way you look. Not that you looked bad, but you looked different. You looked like someone who's been stuck at home for the last week. I'm not sure what reaction you were expecting to get. You certainly weren't expecting to get a reaction. Boy, for somebody stuck in a house for 7 days, you look terrific.
Yeah, did you expect that?
Because you didn't have the expression on your face like I should look terrific.
I put it out there so that people could take out the darts and aim for the board and have fun. I wanted to provide humor for the people that listen to the show or watch Yankee games. I didn't expect one of my own to take a broadside swipe like that. A word that he saves only for the things that he despises the most.
But
I didn't expect.
But listen, you wanted your followers to be entertained. I'm looking right now at the post. My comment of, well, this is repug, has 225 likes, by far the most of anything. So obviously people were very, they enjoyed my commentary. Meredith Marakovitz responded to mine send help. And Chris Carlin added, you undersold it.
It's just the expression on your face. It almost looked like
a hostage photo.
Or like castaway. Like you haven't been stuck in your own house, that you've been like jailed and haven't seen the light of day.
Now, a lot of the replies, though, on Twitter and on Instagram, grow it out. It looks good.
Who said that?
I think I'm going to. A lot of people did. Go look at the comments. Only the caster could pull off that beard. Beautiful, beautiful words. Instead of, wow, that's repug.
Yeah, grow the beard out. It's a good look.
Yeah.
Who said
I think that's just somebody who wants to see.
Looks great. Very handsome look for you.
Yeah.
Now listen, there's somebody for everybody.
Callie's dead against it, and Charlie loves it. And Jody said, listen, you have to do what you have to do.
Okay, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement from your wife.
Right, but she didn't say, shave it off, you look hideous.
No.
Well, she didn't exactly
say,
wow,
I love it either.
That's a pug.
I'm curious to see where it would go if it became an actual beard, but I will just say that in this in-between stage, I don't think it's becoming. Don, you think that's fair?
Well, here's my aim. By the time I'm back doing Yankee games, and hopefully it's this year, I want to be sporting a Letterman-type beard.
Well, you might be. I don't know how fast it grows. Mine grows a lot faster, but... we may be in this for a while.
You can hear
Michael.
Your hair growing when you're in the studio.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'll look like Santa Claus for sure by the time this whole thing is over. Hopefully not, but for you, yeah, why not? Let's see. Let's see the progression.
And I'm not going to cut the hair.
Well, I don't even
know
if you have that option anymore, do you?
Yeah, that unless he uses one of those long garden shears.
That'll make it to your house?
No, he could wait outside. I'll open the door.
Oh, there you go.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Also, if you have a chance today, everybody, today is a momentous day in the history of the YES Network, because we started the network on this date in 2002, 19 years ago. This is the 19th anniversary. And I tweeted this out, and you could get it on YouTube as well. Take a look at the picture I sent out, the way I look today. And take a look at the guy that opened the first game ever on the YES Network, standing next to Jim Cott. It's about, I'd say, a 40 to 50 year age difference. It's sad, really.
Very sad.
And was it on this date in 2002?
Yep.
Why do you get caught up in that? The network is 18 years old.
This is the 19th season. We're
but
broadcasting.
Nobody says that. You're not in your 60th season. You're 59.
I am.
Who does that? It's
nobody
so
does that except him. It's the weird. It's one of your weirdest ticks. You're 59 years old. The network's 18 years old. You know, I want you to introduce, when people say, how old are you? Well, I'm in my 60th year. No, you're 59. You're
but
59 until next February,
up,
and then you turn 60.
When Ken Singleton and I did the game on February 22nd, I said, welcome to the 19th season on YES. That's what it is.
It's the 19th baseball season, but the network's 18 years old. Life is not graded or on seasons. When that day comes, when they'll be celebrating their 19th year on March 19th of next year. They're 18 years old.
About.
The network's 18 years old.
We're starting our 19th year at YES.
Peter, you understand what I'm saying?
It's a negative way to look at things, but that's what Michael
does. From now on, you're not 59. I'm in my 60th year.
Why not? What's the difference?
Well, it's the only time. Just be consistent. It's weird. It's off-putting.
It is?
Yes.
I'm sorry you're so off-putted. Hey, we want to remind you that no matter where you are, you can hear us anywhere. Click the Listen Live box on ESPNNewYork.com to listen online. Listen on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app on your phone, or ask your smart speakers to play ESPN New York. Hear 98.7 ESPN New York anywhere you go or don't go these days. So let's catch up on what's happening. Aaron Boone, the Yankee manager, was on Golic and Wingle today. And... He talked about the when he first heard about this coronavirus.
And that's when I feel like it really, like, okay, this is, then it became, you know, the topic of conversation all the time.
Now, two Yankee minor leaguers have tested positive for the coronavirus, and Boone was asked, how long will these players be quarantined?
You know, it is that 14-day, you know, and it seems to kind of evolve, though, a little bit. Obviously, every 24 hours, you know, you learn a little bit more, you understand a little bit more. So that's what we're trying to go by, that protocol, and follow that as the best we can. And it's my understanding that, you know, our two minor leaguers are already, you know, back and healthy and doing well. But, you know, it's just keeping them quarantined and trying to get to that 14-day point. But, you know, this situation, I've heard the word fluid so many times, but that's exactly what it is. As we learn more and more, it seems like in a fast way each and every day.
Now, Boone actually drove back from Tampa rather than taking a plane, and he's with his family now. And I know for a fact that yesterday, I think it was 2 days he was driving, yesterday he was listening to the show as he was driving to Jersey. So that's always a good thing to know.
Now, I don't want to put words in his mouth or did he misspeak, but he said that the two players that tested positive have gotten better. So am I to assume that they actually had symptoms?
I think that's why they were tested. Yeah, they had symptoms.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's, there isn't enough reporting about that, right? You hear the stats of how many people, how many cases there are, how many people have died. I wish we would get more reporting on how many people have recovered, because there is a stat for that. If you hunt for it, you can find it.
Well, it's not a high number yet, though, because it takes time. So because we're only finding out the number of people that actually have it because testing's so slow, mm-hmm. you're looking at another 2 or 3 weeks. And then remember, they have to get tested again.
No,
so
people
are struggling to get the first test, let alone the second test. So our recovery numbers are terrible.
Well, absolutely. And listen, our case numbers are probably terrible, too, because of how many people have it and don't know it. So there could be a lot of people, but I did see I did see a stat of cases, and I did see a stat of recovered that it looked like about half of the cases have recovered at last thought. But that is the one thing you don't see a lot of. But, you know, you could say they're skewed, Peter, but I think all these numbers are skewed. The more people that get tested, the more people will have it, and the more people will recover. The one number that you hope stays static is the deaths, that will stay, you know, that will stay the same with all the information, and that would obviously bring the mortality rate down. That's what you hope for.
Listen, on this show, I mean, we talk the truth. We're not spinning things. And I said yesterday, and it received some reaction on Twitter as well, because I want people to know the three of us are ridden with anxiety. I don't know if one more than the other. I'm usually the bigger worrier of the three. And the thing that really gets me, as we're thrust into the middle of this, is when does it end? How does it end? How long will this go on? And that's scary. It really is scary. I mean, you hear that there won't be a vaccine for at least a year, maybe a year and a half. I don't know if our economy could take people being out of work that long. And then once the curve flattens, the thing that frightens me, okay, then people start going out again. Well, that doesn't mean if the curve is flattened that you've eliminated it. It's just a lesser of an exponential rise. But I read something in the Times yesterday that made me feel that there's some hope on the horizon. Mm. The whole thing started in the Wuhan province of China. And now China, it's got a different populace and government than we do, and it's somewhat draconian, and they pretty much shut the country down. But over the last 2 days, and they have testing like you wouldn't believe, like we could only dream of having. Over the last 2 days, Peter and Don, they have not had one single positive test for COVID-19. So, you know, at the height of the infection, you'd have to say it was what, January, beginning of January for them, although it started a little earlier. But really at the top of the curve was January. And here we are, it's March 19th. in the last 2 days, zero positive tests. So that's something that you hang your hat on. I mean, we don't know enough to say that that's going to happen here, but I'm looking for anything positive to give to you and to hang my hat on because I'm nervous.
I think that stuff's very real, though, Michael. I think we can legitimately look at what's happened in China, which is it started in early December, and now they just had their first day with no local positive tests. Now they need another 2 weeks for it to be considered basically over, but and that's, you know, two straight weeks is a different story. But 90% of the Starbucks in China have opened. People are going back to factories. It has peaked and has gone the other direction, but it's taken, you know, a full 3 months for it to happen.
Yeah. So that's what I think people are kind of going off that template, right? That if you started to feel, it took 3 months to start to get a couple of days in a row where no positive cases. So let's go off of that. And that might mean that this goes deep into June. Now, maybe it'll be less because we might be in a different situation by then, but I think that's what you got to go by. You know, CDC over the weekend said they recommended 8 weeks. That I think that's a pretty reliable source. We'll see if they come out with any further information, whether they lessen that or add to it. But I think you're still looking at least a couple of months, and you hope there's more testing and more information. Now, that's what I'm looking for, man, is just some information, some reliable information so we can move forward. It's the unknown that drives me crazy. Like you said,
well,
Michael.
Well, drove me crazy yesterday, and we never even got around to it. You know, a CBS affiliate down in Clearwater interviewed some of the Nudniks who were on the beach, Clearwater Beach, during spring break. Oh, if I get it, I get it. What's the big deal? I mean, this is supposed to be the generation, you know, that turns it all around for us. Not too bright. Not too bright. I mean, I don't know if they purposely sought to interview the most idiotic, moronic, clueless people, but they did their job if they did. But today they closed the beaches. And the reason why I'm not over the moon happy about that stat from China is that they closed that country down. We have not closed this country down. And Governor Cuomo, who I think has done his best work in office during this crisis, I think he's an assuring voice and he's honest and he tells you about what's going on. And I kind of dig it the way he's presenting it. He refuses to close down the city. He refuses to quarantine people. He just won't do it. He said, we're a free country. He goes, I can't do that. But in China, they did it. So is it going to be 5 months with us? Because as of yesterday, our bright 20-year-olds were roaming the beach in Clearwater. So I don't know. I just hope that we can hang our hat on something positive. And, you know, and people are recovering, which is something that's great. But then you see the other stats, like 40% of the people that have been to ICUs are between the ages of 20 and 45. And that was one thing that everybody really felt good about. Well, young people are able to battle through this. Well, yeah, they battle through it, but they get really sick. And
yeah, yeah, there are a lot of people.
40% of those people are in ICU from that age group. So that's young.
Yeah. There's some scary numbers there in terms of how sick younger people are that we seem to miss early on. So it's definitely not strictly an elderly illness, even though that is a big part of it. So we're going to figure it out as it goes on. But I do think we're seeing signs that good things could come down the road. But I will tell you guys, all of us adjusting to this patience, we've been so warped in this society to just be privileged and to get everything we want all the time. Everything's at our fingertips. And now we have to learn that there are certain things you just cannot control. We're just going to have to sit here and wait it out. And there are moments, I'm not going to lie, when it feels scary and overwhelming.
You know, you had asked about those players that, you know, they're showing no symptoms now. Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, was asked on Golic and Wingle, did the players show any symptoms? Here's Boone.
The first minor leaguer where it happened, he woke up and we were actually across the big league club was a lot of us were across the state. We had an overnight trip on the other side of the state. Essentially he woke up that morning with a fever, called in, wasn't feeling great, but the symptoms weren't, you know, massive. He wasn't out down and out sick. He just wasn't feeling well, had a little fever. So they told him to stay at the hotel. They came and checked on him and, you know, took his temperature, got a strep test, got a flu test, which he tested negative for. And then that triggered them to get the corona test, and he tested positive for that. So he didn't really come in contact with maybe but one or two people. We feel like at the complex at that point, but obviously it forced us to obviously quarantine eventually the whole camp.
All right, so we've got a lot to do today. Boone's back in town. He drove back because a lot of the players are dispersing, and just doesn't make sense. They're pitching batting practice with surgical gloves on. It's unbelievable.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. This is the Michael K. Show.
He's our very own Mike Reese, covers the Patriots for ESPN. He joins us here on the Michael K. Show. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Don, Peter.
Why did this happen?
Oh, boy. How much time do we have, right?
Normally, we probably wouldn't call attention to it because there's so much going on. Michael is okay. That's why he didn't participate in the interview, because of a connection issue. So I want to make sure that people don't think that anything is wrong.
I'm good.
There you go. You're here.
This is the Michael K. Show.
People already writing in saying that without you there, one of the great interviews in the history of the show.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You just know that Don and Peter were rooting that I didn't get my internet back. You just knew it. It said, and Peter makes a joke, you know, he wants everybody to think he's joking, but they didn't want me back. They loved doing the show without me.
Not true.
They loved it when I was hospitalized last year. They love it.
Did Michael
not remotely
die?
True. You saw this, Michael?
Peter's not denying it.
I already did deny it.
Michael?
Here's a story that's just breaking. And it continues to puzzle me. I always bring it up, and somebody gives you some spin or some cockamamie reason. So Chris Sale, the Red Sox just announced, is going to undergo Tommy John surgery, which confirms what I've been saying for a couple of years. The worst contract ever signed, ever. I mean, worse than Jacoby Ellsbury. Worse. Well, they didn't have to sign him. They still had a year left on his contract. They gave him an outrageous amount of money after a season in which he was shelved with a bad elbow. But that's beside the point. That's not even the point of this story. Do they know that Major League Baseball is not going to be played this year? I doubt that. I don't think anybody knows that. And if they don't, you just wasted a month, at least 2 or 3 weeks. Why? For what? He hasn't thrown another pitch. So he could have had this surgery 3 weeks ago, which maybe gets him back 3 weeks sooner in 2021. What is with it with teams, with sports teams? I know the last thing you want to do is cut into somebody, but when something is this obvious, everybody knew that he was going to have the surgery. You just wasted 3 weeks. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So now, in all likelihood, Chris Sale doesn't get back until maybe after the All-Star break next year. Because they drag their feet on this stuff. And it's not just the Red Sox. It's every team. It's every team. Severino got hurt in the ALCS last year. He didn't have the surgery till this year. Paxton got hurt at the end of the season. Didn't have the surgery before spring training. It's everybody. And I understand these are valuable assets. But valuable assets should be put back on the field 100% as soon as possible instead of waiting and waiting and waiting. So Chris Sale will not pitch this year. And he's not going to pitch for much of next year. And that contract just looks absolutely asinine.
But you always bring up, well, the last thing you want to do is cut someone open. But when it comes to this, is it that bad? You know inevitably you're going to have it. The quicker you have it, the quicker you can get back. I don't understand why the delay.
And nobody gives you a really good answer. Nobody tells you for sure, yeah, this is the reason. They'll talk around it. You know what? We thought there could be a more conservative. No. How often is a conservative? The one guy that got at me where a conservative track was the right one was Tanaka. No. And so I guess every team could rest on that. Well, Tanaka didn't have that surgery. And look, he's pitching 5 years later. Okay, that's one. I could give you 10 where it doesn't work out. So what odds do you like better?
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of. And in the HIPAA laws, you know, a player or a person can't be forced to have surgery, but I would think these players would want it. Get it over with so I can get back onto the field and be better.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You know who gets it? Adam Silver gets it. He spoke with our Rachel Nichols last night. Adam Silver is the commissioner of the NBA. And he comes off as so steady, even hand. Just seems like he gets it. He's able to communicate. And you can see that there's a real allegiance between the players in the league and the commissioner. I don't think that's anywhere else. Hockey players hate Bettman. Baseball players are not in love with Manfred.
Especially
and football
now.
Players despise Goodell.
Ugh.
Despise him. But the NBA players, you see them around Silver. They dap with him. They hug him. I mean, because he gets it. He understands that that's the product. And he also is a good leader in crisis times. Look how he handled the Donald Sterling stuff. How many commissioners would be able to handle it like that? So let's hear from what he had to say yesterday on SportsCenter. He said that the NBA led the charge on taking COVID-19 seriously.
I understand there are many sides to these issues, but I also think that by virtue of an NBA player being tested and the kind of attention it brought, my sense was, especially among young people in the United States, people were not taking these protocols all that seriously until the NBA did what it did.
Well, now he talks about his decision to cancel.
But the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder were on the court,
yeah,
literally about to tip, fans in the arena, and then in consultation with Clay Bennett, who's the principal owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and other doctors and public health officials in Oklahoma City, we made, in essence, a split-second decision that we should call the game, but we wanted to be careful that we didn't overly alarm 19,000 people who needed to exit an arena in an orderly way. And then, so we waited to make the announcement till the people were out of the building, but then in essence, the decision then, I mean, in retrospect, most would argue events made it for me, but
right,
it seemed in that moment the right thing to do was to suspend the operation of the season.
Something before
I don't think he had any choice, Peter. I mean, once the player tested positive, there was no way they could have possibly moved forward.
No. I mean, simple math just tells you, yeah, when you look at the teams that they'd played during the exposure period, you basically ended up accounting for every player in the league, mm-hmm, could have been in contact with another player in the league. But to Michael's point about Silver, there's just something about the way he talks and how he approaches things that it's just it actually is kind of like what Michael was saying about why he likes Cuomo right now. And the reason
yeah,
Cuomo has been good during this moment, and Cuomo hasn't always been accused of being someone who's relatable and seems like a straight shooter all the time, but right now he sure has seemed like it, and that's what Silver was, really kind of taking you through his feelings.
And you know, you don't need to be Mr. Happy either. Even if it's bad news, you want it straight. He's giving it to you straight. He just gives it to you straight. People that obfuscate are the guys that, yeah, are just, they're outed. They're not good at this. Now, Silver talked about not knowing when the season will be.
I honestly don't know, just because I don't have a good enough sense of how long a period this is going to be. As I said, I mean, even the fact that we were using the word hiatus just a week ago, and that sort of the implication was a short amount of time. I think I said last Thursday, not less than 30 days, just to give some guidance to our teams and players. But at this point, I really don't know.
All right, so he gave three options after this about the season possibly restarting, and this is his first option about the restart.
One of the things that we're very focused on at the league office and together with our teams is what are the conditions we would need to restart, and I'd say I'm looking at three different things here. One is, of course, when can we restart and operate as we've known it, 19,000 fans in buildings, and sort of that's one set of criteria.
All right, here's the second.
Should
option.
We consider restarting without fans, and what would that mean? Because presumably, if you had a group of players and staff around them, and you could test them, and you could follow some protocol, doctors, health officials may say it's safe to play. So that's sort of second set of circumstances.
And then the third and final
option. And then the third option that we're looking at now, and I would say all suggestions welcome, is that as I sort of beginning of this interview, I've mentioned the impact to me on the national psyche of having no sports programming on television. And one of the things we've been talking about, are there conditions in which a group of players could compete, you know, and maybe it's for a giant fundraiser or just for the collective good of the people that you take a subset of players. And is there a protocol in which they can be tested and quarantined or isolated in some way, and then they can compete against each other just because, again, people are stuck at home, and I think they need a diversion. They need to be entertained.
Now, that would be the most altruistic thing I've ever seen, because would NBA owners still be paying these players just to entertain the masses? You know, who's gonna make money off of it? I know that sounds harsh, but people don't do things for absolutely nothing. Yeah, it could be for charity, but these players are possibly putting themselves in harm's way,
right,
both with the COVID-19 for a charity game. So I'm sure that some players would want to do it, but is that just one game? That, to me, that's an option that I don't know if I would take. I want to restart the season, or does this say we're not going to play this year?
Yeah, and I think there might be ways, Michael, in which you could restart the season but still not have fans. Like, well, that's what I thought he was going for, is that if we ever get to the point where tests are readily available and all of the players pass the test, all of the people that are around the team pass the test, they all travel privately anyway, is there a way to continue the season where there are no fans and just know that everybody in the building participating has tested negative for the virus? But if you're going to start doing something, you know, for charity, it's great for charity, but how would the fans feel if one of your players, you know, tears an ACL during this event and then is not available for when the games are played? Or is there going to be a feeling like, well, if you're putting all this effort into playing these games, why aren't you putting more of an effort into continuing the season?
Well, and how about this?
Right.
If you're going to be able to get these teams tested when it seems like regular people can't be tested, if every player in the league gets tested, can you at least then entertain the fans? I mean, you guys had the advantage of getting tested. Take advantage of it. Play some games. Why not?
But I would think, Peter, you wouldn't even think about doing this until tests were available for everyone. Even though the fans benefit from it, I think there would be an outcry if they were getting tested and there's still people that are listening to the show waiting 10 days and not getting the results or not getting their tests. I'm just trying to think of
what. But it does seem to be that there are different rules, because we just spoke about Chris Sale at the start of the hour. You know, he's going to have Tommy John surgery. Well, everything I've read is that doctors are being told and patients are being told there will not be elective surgeries done in hospitals. We need the hospital beds for people that are battling COVID-19. Tommy John surgery right now is an elective surgery. They're going to clear a bed, I'm sure, for Chris Sale.
Well, we don't know that yet.
If you came in and you needed a nose job, you're not getting one.
Yeah, but we don't know that.
You need elbow surgery. The regular normal person, you're not getting one. They can't use hospital resources like
right.
that.
But we don't know that Sale is going to have the surgery anytime soon. They announced that he's going to have it, but I would think that would be wrong for him to have it tomorrow and that a bed is being taken up.
I bet
up
you
and,
he will have it within the week.
Well, I mean, then this is something that needs to kind of get cleared up here. I mean, that's where a system can break down, where the rich and the famous are able to get things and other people can't. And that's not the way this is supposed to work. I thought this was supposed to be what's going to bring us together because we all are susceptible to this virus. But if the famous and the rich are able to get access and then the common people don't, that's just not right. I understand that that's kind of the way of the world, that that's usually how it works. But in times of crisis, this is a really bad look. You talk about optics. This would be a very bad optic if there are people that are in a tent outside a hospital or have to wait a little while to get, because there's other surgeries too, Michael. I mean, there are people that need like open heart surgery and things that are going to be very, very important that might have to wait a day or two until some things happen. I mean, you don't want to be bumped to the front of the line because you're getting Tommy John surgery, or you get a test when other people aren't getting a test because of just who you happen to be. That's going to be very difficult for people to handle.
I've been wondering this a lot about the NBA. I want to throw it toward Peter. Let's say that they're delayed and they decide to play the remainder of the season and the championships, the playoffs, in July and August. And a lot of people always wonder, because basketball is played in the Summer Olympics, not in the Winter Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could be, that's obviously because all the great players are playing in the winter. What happens if they start to think, let's shift basketball to the summer months? This way we don't compete with football. We don't compete with hockey. All we do is compete with baseball. They can do it. I mean, it's played indoors. Doesn't matter if you play it in the winter or the summer. Why is it played in the winter? What if they do and they say, wow, this is pretty good?
But why, even if they liked it, what would be the incentive? I would actually argue that they get more competition from baseball than you're getting from football. Because baseball is every night, just like basketball. With football, you know what you're up against. It's on Sundays, it's on Mondays, that's it. You have it for a couple months, then football goes away. To be in the summer and be competing with baseball every single night in every single city, stadiums that hold 40,000 people, and would you rather sit outside on a nice summer night in Chicago or go inside to the United Center? I don't see that happening.
Or would you like to go to the United Center where it's air-conditioned, where it might be 95 degrees in Chicago?
That is true.
Now, it's an interesting question, Michael. Like, why was it originally designed to be a fall and winter sport and not a summer sport? And I would think the two biggest reasons, number one, they didn't want to go up against baseball, which was the king at the time. And two, you know, listen, Peter knows this from back in the day. Remember, the Boston Gardens never had air conditioning and how hot it would get during the finals when they played. And the condensation on the floor would always be a problem when they played deep into June, that a lot of these buildings, when they started, probably got, is anybody going to want to sit inside on a 90-degree day with 20,000 other people? But now that everything is air-conditioned and now that baseball isn't the king that it was, and I think in a lot of other markets, I think it's actually surpassed baseball, that would be interesting.
I wonder if, you know, thinking could be changed. Thinking could really be changed because of the necessity of rejiggering the schedule. Now, let's say you don't play. Let's say you start the NBA season after the Super Bowl. If you do that, then you're playing the championship maybe in September or October. So how many? Well, basketball starts when now? October or November?
It's
November, right?
Around Halloween, November, so like the first late October, early November.
All right, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. That's 9 months. So I guess if you start it the second week of February, and you could now, then you'd be going, your championship would be going up against the World Series.
Now, if you wanted to end in September, you said it's 9 months. So let's say you kicked it all off like with the holidays. Like you kicked it all off on that Christmas Day, opening day, with all those games, and then you started like around the holidays or sometime in the middle of December, you would end sometime in the middle of September.
That's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea, because what's happening in September? Yeah, the baseball pennant races, but...
Well, maybe think about it, Michael, because like what Mark Cuban said is television's different now. You know, and people watch, they like their product, right? So the whole idea was, well, you don't want to crown a champion in July and August because nobody's watching television. Everybody's on vacation. But is that really the case anymore? I mean, it's become a big deal. I mean, I think people would still carve out the time to watch, and maybe you would get, you know, maybe you'd get more viewers there during that period of time because there is more downtime in the summertime than there is in spring.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you. And now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to two monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-120.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie!
All right, I thought of this one for a while, and it came up because you were talking about great coaches yesterday. And I decided to narrow down my top five to the top five best pro coaches over the last 50 years. Because I didn't want to get into the Joe McCarthy's and the Casey Stengels and the Vince Lombardi's and all that. I wanted to try to get as modern as possible, so everybody's kind of working over the same rules. So I'm going to go with the the last 50 years, okay? Any guesses?
Top five coaches last 50 years?
Last 50 years.
All sports?
Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells did not make the list. Close. I considered Joe Bill. Torre.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. You can't just go shooting things off. Yeah. We go back and forth, Don, don't we?
Yeah, and I considered Bill Parcells because he was great everywhere he was, but just won the two championships with the Giants, so he did not make the list.
Top Joe five Torre, in all sports? Just.
Joe Torre, I did not have making the list. I mean, he was great with his five championships.
Oh, come on.
You're wasting Don's time. Don.
He didn't do well with the Braves, with the Cardinals, with the Angels.
I want two.
But you're talking about New York coaches.
No, I didn't say New York.
No, he didn't say New York.
I never said New York. Why? You consistently don't listen. Every single day, every single time we've done the list. Seriously, you have not listened. Peter, am I wrong at all?
No.
He just
has
not listened.
I blame you, Don. I'm ready to go. I've been sitting here ready because he's wasting everyone's time and not paying attention.
All right.
So obviously, last 50 years, top coaches, all sports. Obviously, Coach Mike Krzyzewski's there.
Oh, I'm sorry, pro. So you're not listening either. I clearly said pro. I can't get anybody.
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick.
Yes, he is obviously number one. Six championships, nine Super Bowl appearances. I got Pop at four. Five titles. Has made the playoffs every year since 96, 97. 21 straight years. I got Pop at four.
Where's Phil?
Scotty Snowman.
Phil was the first one mentioned, so I'll say Phil Jackson at three. Now, you could kill the fact that he's always had great players on his championships, but Michael didn't win until Phil got there, right? Shaq didn't win until Phil got to Los Angeles, right? Del Harris wasn't winning any championships in L.A. before Phil got there, so I got Phil at three. Michael, you mentioned Scotty Bowman. I got Scotty at two. Nine cups, five with the Canadiens, one with Pittsburgh, three with the Detroit Red Wings. Went to the finals three straight years with the expansion St. Louis Blues, and actually went to the playoffs five straight years as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. I got him at two. So you just got to guess five.
How about...
We have Pop. We have
and Torrey's not in there, which is an unbelievable omission.
So this
no, it's not at all. Tony La Russa.
No.
It's a good guess, Michael.
Very good guess.
Very good guess. Cito Gaston.
All right, now you're mocking me.
Okay, I'm not mocking you.
I got it.
Yes.
Art Howe.
No. Lighting up a room, he would be the top five people to light up a room, but no.
Eric Spoelstra.
Didn't make it. I was close, but didn't make it.
Can you give us what sport?
Yeah, give us a sport.
Basketball. NBA.
And we already said Pop.
So we have Phil and Pop, Phil. Right?
Yes.
Oh, Steve Kerr.
No. Come on.
David Fizz.
I got it.
Sorry.
Pat Riley. Four there titles with the Lakers. A go. Title with Miami and went to the finals with the New York Knicks. Pat Riley at five. Scott Riley at five. Pop at four. Jackson at three. Scotty Bowman two. Bill Belichick one.
That's a tremendous list, and I believe you did it solely because you wanted Scotty Bowman to get his due after the conversation we had a couple days ago. You wanted to have a Scotty Bowman moment.
Mr. I Hate the NBA. He's got three NBA coaches on there.
You know
Look
what?
At me.
It's a good job out
of
you.
Now, make your argument for Tory, Michael. I mean, I love Joe. I do. But he didn't have any success outside of New York.
He managed the Yankees for 12 years.
Right.
They made the playoffs every single year.
Sure.
He went to 6 World Series and won 4 of them.
So who am I taking off the list?
How he's not?
Who am I taking off?
One of the basketball guys.
Why?
He won more championships than Riley.
Yeah, but Riley did
more
it
than
multiple
Pop.
Places.
Well, what does it matter if you do it one place or multiple places?
Well, because it
shows
that
who's had a better run than Joe Torre in the last 50 years?
I don't think you can put him on this list. He didn't have success with the Mets. Didn't have success with the Cardinals. Went to the playoffs once with the Braves.
You don't have Bill Walsh on the list.
It's
an awful list again.
No, why is it an awful list?
Oh,
who am I taking
gosh.
Off? Am I taking all right, Bill Walsh, who am I taking off? When George Seifert took the same team and won a Super Bowl with them. Bill Walsh was great, but who am I taking off?
All right, so if you're gonna go with that route, Joe Girardi took over, didn't make the playoffs in 2008.
Right. Then he won a championship in 2009 with pretty much the same guys.
Incarcerated Bob
no,
is
not
disgusted.
At all. Not at all. Not and at all.
Incarcerated
they,
Bob
they brought
dis-
in
sorry, Michael, that disgusted Don. I know, Michael, you'll appreciate this because it's tearing Don's list apart, that you don't have Al Arbor on the list.
Well, Al Arbor was also considered, too, but who am I taking off?
19 straight playoff
Al Arbor,
appearances?
He was amazing.
Four Stanley
years.
Cups?
Not appearances,
absolutely.
Wins.
But I'll ask Incarcerated Bob, who am I taking off? Al Arbor had a great run
Riley
for 4 years. He was an amazing coach for 4 years with an amazing team. Pop's been doing it for 2 decades. Riley did it with 3 different teams. Jackson did it with 2 different teams, won 11 championships. Bowman won championships with multiple championships with 3 different teams. Belichick, am I taking Bill off? Somebody's got to finish this. I'm a Giant fan. I don't have Parcells on the list.
Bill Walsh is a tough one to get up from.
But who am I taking off?
The man changed the game as we know it.
All right.
He is football.
I understand. Who am I taking off?
I think Pop might
have. I
have
less of a problem with Bill Walsh than Joe Torre. I mean, really.
But who am I taking off, Michael? No.
Joe Torre made the Hall of Fame because of those 12 years.
And you don't think any of these guys are not going to the Hall of Fame? They're all going to the Hall of Fame. Who am I taking off? Again, you're like a caller.
I said,
who
take off Pat Riley.
Riley's tough.
Pat Riley in Miami, I think Pat Riley's wonderful. He took over Van Gundy's team. He got rid of Van Gundy because he knew the team was ready to win. He got himself another championship.
Division titles in Miami. Then he went to the finals with the Knicks. How often does that happen?
And did he have 5 with the Lakers?
4.
4 with the Lakers?
Oh, now, how do you leave off Fizdale?
That's a great point. Fiz did a great job. This is the most controversial list so far, Don.
I want to know who Incarcerated Bob's taking off.
You know what I like about Don, though, Peter? He's not swimming in the kiddie pool. He's dumping in the deep end. He's giving topics that people are going to argue about, call him a fool, a foof, whatever.
Yep.
He doesn't care.
It's my list. That's what we want to argue.
Incarcerated says take Riley off and put on Al Arbor.
I mean, that's his list, and I think that's a really good argument. We can have fun having that conversation. Maybe I put a lot of weight into the fact that when you do it in other places, right, then it kind of takes that whole argument away of, well, you just happen to be at the right place at the right time. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Al Arbor is not a great coach, or that Bill Walsh is not a great coach, or that Bill Parcells is not a great coach, but these are my 5. I'm not particularly a Pat Riley fan, especially what he did to the Knicks, but this is my list.
Wow, I got to tell you, Don, you're coming in hot.
He delegitimized the list by leaving off Torre. It's like he wanted to antagonize
people. First of all, Michael, you're not
Torrey's
making a good
not even the
case.
Biggest one to be left off. I mean, Torre's not as big.
Torre won 4 championships and went to 6 World Series.
Right. Walsh is much more important than Torre.
With an amazing team, Michael. With an amazing team.
Did they win before him?
When did Joe Torre exactly? Well, you don't know. Buck could have won. Buck had that.
But he didn't.
Took over a playoff team.
That's true.
Took over a playoff team.
I know, but he didn't win.
That was a massive team.
The year after he left, they didn't make the playoffs.
Well, but he's also the manager of a team, the only manager in the history of sports, manager/coach, to blow a 3-0 series lead.
But, Michael,
you're just a net.
Don't you think the craziest thing Michael's arguing, though, is that you're arguing Torre more strongly than Bill Walsh? Please.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Walsh is literally his name is brought up constantly for what the game even looks like today.
But we got a top 5 list.
But I'm not even arguing your list, Don. I just can't believe that he'd be more passionate about Tory. Stop it.
Well, we know why.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, why do we know? Why do we know?
I mean, come on. Come on. Stop yourself.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.